Okay. We're moving on to part four. Tragedy strikes. A man was driving his brand new BMW at a high rate of speed. He drove onto an overpass with a sharper curve than he expected. His car spun out of control, and he realized that there was no hope of keeping the car from going over a steep embankment. At the very last moment, he opened his door and jumped. Unfortunately, he caught his arm on the door. His arm was torn from his socket as the car and his detached arm flew over the embankment and burst into flames below. The man ran to the side of the embankment and mourned his loss. A trucker approached who had seen the tragic accident. He stopped his rig and ran up to the man. The trucker could hear the man lamenting the loss of his car. "Oh, my car, my car, my brand new BMW. The trucker grabbed hold of the man and said, "Hey, mister, I've got to get you to the hospital right away. You've got more problems than the loss of your car. Man, you lost your arm." The man snapped out of his shock and looked down at where his arm had been. He looked back at the trucker in absolute terror and screamed, "Oh no, I've lost my Rolex." The tests of life normally involve loss. The loss of position, loss of power, loss of esteem, loss of finances, loss of possessions, loss of health, loss of friendships or relationships, loss of loved ones. Rarely, however, does one lose everything. But Job lost almost everything, permitted by God to do so. Satan tested Job with both external trials and internal trials. While God permitted these tests to authenticate Job's faith, Satan was attempting to destroy Job by destroying his faith and his faithfulness. We have Roman numeral 1, Job's external losses. Job's external losses. Well, God had built a hedge around Job, see Job chapter 1 verse 10, and commanded Satan, "Only upon himself put not forth thine hand," Job chapter 1 verse 12. Satan tested Job by taking away virtually all that he had. First of all, letter A, Job lost his wealth. Job lost his wealth. A very wealthy man died. Shortly thereafter, a neighbor asked, "How much did he leave?" A wise woman replied, "Everything." The wise woman was saying that the man did not bring anything with him. He lost all of his wealth. Similarly, Job lost nearly all of his wealth. Someone once said the wisest choice for the man who has everything is a burglar alarm. Otherwise, he may lose all of his wealth. Job lost nearly all his wealth, but not because he had no burglar alarm. Due to three separate rapid fire incidents, Job lost nearly all of his possessions, financial assets, and means of livelihood. The first rapid fire incident was number one, the Sabaean raid. The Sabaean raid. Job chapter 1 verses 13 to 15 says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Yet no doubt, being a quiet, serene day in the pastoral scene of Job's territory, the oxen were busy plowing and the donkeys were grazing beside them, when all of a sudden, a hostile band of Sabaean robbers burst onto the scene, brutally murdered Job's farmhands, and took all the oxen and donkeys. Remember that Job had 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys. Job chapter 1 verse 3 says, "His substance also was 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses." The oxen were needed for plowing, and the donkeys for general labor. Only one servant had escaped the raid, the one who reported this horrible event to Job. The Sabaeans were from Sheba, a name that means one who raids. The Sabaeans were Semitic people and descendants of Sheba, Genesis chapter 25 verse 3. Biblical references to the Sabaeans include Isaiah chapter 60 verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 20, and Ezekiel chapter 27 verse 22. During the apparent era of Job's day, the Sabaeans had largely settled in the southwest region of the Arabian Peninsula, present-day Yemen and Hadramaut. This territory was approximately 1,000 miles southeast of Edom, or Uz. Perhaps the Sabaeans had a trading post near Uz, as the 1,000-mile raid would not be usual. The Sabaeans were known for the extensive caravan industry, trading everything from gold, incense, precious stones, and ivory to livestock and human slaves. What would losing the oxen, donkeys, and servants have meant to Job financially? Job's financial loss would have come from not realizing the money from the crops he would have eventually harvested, and from having to replace the animals the Sabaeans stole. He would also have lost income as he sought new workers to replace those who were killed. What effect might such a complete tragedy have had on Job mentally? The completeness of the loss would have been hard for Job to imagine. The death of all but one of the servants would have been jolting to Job's mind. No doubt, he had good relationships with most of his servants. Job might have even felt responsible for their deaths because he did not protect them as they worked. So the Sabaean raid caused financial loss to Job. The Sabaean raid also had effects on Job mentally. But not only do we have the Sabaean raid, we have number two, the firestorm. The firestorm. Job chapter 1 verse 16 says, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and have burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." No sooner had the report of the Sabaean invasion rolled off the trembling lips of the sole survivor of the raid, the second wrench hand frantically approached Job. He too carried tragic news. He reported that the fire of God had fallen from heaven and consumed Job's 7,000 sheep and all the shepherds except him. A woman was seated next to a bivocational pastor on an airplane during a fierce electrical storm. She, "Can't you do something about this awful storm?" He, "Madam, I'm in sales, not management." In all likelihood, the fire from heaven in the book of Job was also a fierce electrical storm. Often in the scriptures, the term fire of God appears to refer to lightning. See Job chapter 20, verse 26, Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, chapter 16, verse 35, and chapter 26, verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, and 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. In the weather patterns of the Middle East, the land of Edom, or Ars, that is modern Jordan, receives its weather from northern Africa, namely Egypt and the Mediterranean Sea. If this fire from heaven was a fierce electrical storm at Satan's prompting, under the permission of God, it probably approached Job's territory from the west. Again, what did losing all his sheep and shepherds mean to Job financially? It meant that Job lost a main source of food and clothing. He would need to replace those sources in short order. And the fact that the tragedy involved lightning instead of people would be particularly telling for Job. The massive amount of lightning it would take to kill 7,000 sheep is nearly incomprehensible. Job would have recognized this tragedy as supernatural. This tragedy could not simply be blamed on the band of robbers or bad luck. But that is not the end of it. We have a third rapid fire incident. Number three, the Chaldean raids. The Chaldean raids. Job chapter 1 verse 17 says, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.'" Dr. Guthrie wrote, "There was a British regiment once ordered to charge a body of French cuirassiers, that is, cavalry soldiers. The trumpet sounded, and away they went boldly at them, but not to victory. They broke like a wave that launches itself against a rock. They were sacrificed to a trader's fraud, forged not of truest steel, but worthless metal. Their swords bent double at the first stroke. What could human strength of the most gallant bravery do against such odds? They were slaughtered like sheep on field. And ever since I read that tragedy, I thought I would not go to battle unless my sword was proved." So, the slaughter of the British regiment was tragic news to Dr. Guthrie. With the 2 servants still in Job's presence, a 3rd servant also brought tragic news. No doubt standing speechless, Job was probably thinking, "What next?" This servant told of 3 bands of Chaldeans who had just plundered another section of Job's ranch and stolen all 3,000 camels. Furthermore, they had stabbed to death all of Job's camel attendants with the sword. The 3 bands obviously had schemed to surround and trap Job's men. Again, only 1 man had survived, the eyewitness servant who was reporting this tragedy to Job. The Chaldeans were located originally in southern Babylonia. Their name came from an Aramaic derivation and referred to the people from the sea lands. They would later give rise to a dynasty that would control all of the so-called Fertile Crescent, a modern-day description of the well-watered general region that extends in a large crescent shape from the tip of the Persian Gulf up and around the Tigris-Euphrates Valley and toward the northern tip of the Red Sea or Arabian Gulf. During that time, the term Chaldean would be synonymous with Babylonian. When Job lost his camels, he lost his connection with the world. Camels provided him with ability to transport goods and trade with other lands. With this raid, Job lost the last of his vocational and economic household resources. His sources of food, clothes, field plowing, transportation, and general labor were all gone. Perhaps unfathomable or utterly devastating would be the words to describe Job's loss. Job no doubt thought that the total destruction of his goods and livelihood had a purpose. The tragedies were separate and uncoordinated by any person or group of people. God had to be involved somehow. But not only did Job lose his wealth, letter B, Job lost his children. Job lost his children. Job chapter 1 verses 18 to 19 says, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." The third reporter had just given the details of the Chaldean intruders when a fourth messenger approached Job. Perhaps Job feared the worst at this juncture. If that were the case, Job's worst nightmares had come true. This messenger emotionally informed Job that while all 10 of Job's children were dining at the older son's house, a violent windstorm had uncharacteristically blown in from the desert, probably the Arabian desert, and destroyed the home, killing every one of Job's children. It certainly must have seemed to Job that all the forces of heaven and hell opposed him. This fourth tragedy was so much worse than the first three. Job could eventually replace all his goods and even hire new servants, but the deaths of his children had permanent consequences. No amount of money and hard work would ever bring them back. Sometimes trials arrive in various forms and in clusters. Perhaps this is why James wrote of diverse temptations in James chapter 1 verse 2. A single assault on our faith may not weaken us, but we find it extremely hard to withstand a combination of rapid fire assaults. We need to ground our faith in God's word so that it will endure whatever Satan hurls at us. All of Job's losses were external losses. God had put a hedge around Job's life. Nevertheless, they were tragic losses of catastrophic proportion. How would you expect a normal person to respond to such a list of tragedies? A normal person will lose all ability to reason. The loss will be absolutely shocking and overwhelming. But that was not how Job responded. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, Job's response to external loss. Job's response to external loss. A survey showed that 90% of accidents on staircases involved either the top or the bottom stair. This information was fed into a computer to find out how stairway accidents could be reduced. The computer's answer: remove the top and bottom stairs. The computer responded to the information fed. Similarly, Job responded to his external loss. Job chapter 1 verses 20 to 22 says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. What did Job do after he had heard about all four tragedies? He tore his robe, shaved his head, and worshipped God. What Job did was according to custom. Ripping his clothes and shaving his head were the proper ways to respond to grief. But worshipping God was not an expected response. Job showed his deep, genuine faith in God when he began to worship Him. He said in Job chapter 1 verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." By naked shall I return thither, Job was referring to interment into the earth. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job made a connection between the tragedies and God. Job recognized God's sovereignty over the tragedies that happened to him. God takes and gives as He deems best. After making this connection between tragedies and God, Job concluded that God was still blessed despite the devastating losses. Job did not conclude that God had somehow lost His sovereign hold over Job's life. Job knew all of the tragedies happened to him on God's watch. Job recognized God in His sovereignty, takes and gives as He deems best. Job's response was to worship God. The first chapter of Job concludes with a triumphant declaration of Job's faith in Job chapter 1 verse 22. "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly." He had passed the test. As God has said, Job's faith would survive severe testing. But Satan was not impressed with Job's faithfulness at this point. He believed that if he turned up the heat by inflicting physical suffering on Job, Job's faith would not stand the test. So, after gaining the necessary permission from God, Satan launched a full-scale attack on Job's person. This brings us to Roman numeral 3, Job's internal losses. Job's internal losses. And letter A, Job lost his health. Job lost his health. Many people spend their health for wealth and then try to spend their wealth for health. Job did not spend his health for wealth, yet Job lost his health. Parents of two teenagers are worried about their children's failing eyesight. Their daughter can't find anything to wear in a closet full of clothes. And their son can't find anything good to eat in a refrigerator full of food. But Job did not have failing eyesight. Job had failing health. God permitted Satan to afflict Job so long as he spared Job's life. God was confident that Job's faith would endure Satan's attacks. Job chapter 2 verses 7 to 8 says, "So when Satan fell from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took himself a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." Verse 7 doesn't adequately describe what Job endured physically as a result of the disease Satan brought on him. The word boils is not a technical term, but from the context we can conclude they were boil-like sores that covered his body. In addition, Job endured painful itching. Job chapter 2 verse 8. Disfiguration. Job chapter 2 verse 12. Sleeplessness. Job chapter 7 verse 4. Oozing sores infected with worms. Job chapter 7 verse 5. Bad breath. Job chapter 19 verse 17. Extreme weight loss. Job chapter 19 verse 20. Fever. Job chapter 21 verse 6. Excruciating pain. Job chapter 30 verse 17. Diarrhea. Job chapter 30 verse 27. And shriveling skin. Job chapter 30 verse 30. Why didn't he try acupuncture, you may ask? Well, many have not given acupuncture enough credibility. Those who doubt his effectiveness need only look at the porcupine. Rarely does one see a sick porcupine. Just kidding. Job's life was reduced to sitting on ashes and scraping his sores with broken pieces of pottery. He was once the greatest man in the East. How do you think the people or us responded to Job when they heard of his tragedies and saw his pathetic physical appearance? No doubt they wagged their heads at him and concluded he must have done something terrible to deserve such a devastating loss. They would have been no help to him. As if the physical pain and discomfort weren't bad enough, letter B, Job lost his support. Job lost his support. By support here, I mean his wife's moral support. If you lose your wife's moral support, you are in trouble. If you lose your wife's moral support, you are in trouble. For example, UCLA football coach Pepper Rodgers was in the middle of a terrible season. The fans were also sick and tired of him. He recalls, "My dog was my only friend. I told my wife that a man needs at least two friends, and she bought me another dog." Job chapter 2 verse 9 says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Job's wife actually encouraged Job to do what Satan wanted him to do all along. Curse God and die. The trials that struck from a distance were severe. But when Job encountered physical suffering and heard his wife's demoralizing suggestion, he must have felt emotionally drained. When believers lose not only their health, but also the moral support of a spouse, they must think the whole world has caved in on them. Satan no doubt appreciated the lack of support Job's wife gave to her husband. He would have been rooting for her to convince Job to give up. She had already given up on Job. Her faith was weak. She gave Satan hope that he would win the showdown with God. But we have Roman numeral 4, Job's response to internal loss. Job's response to internal loss. Just as Job responded to his external loss, Job responded to his internal loss. Job chapter 2 verse 10 says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job didn't follow his wife's advice. He recognized her lack of faith and the stupidity of her suggestion. He called her foolish. Job's wife's advice to her husband was foolish because it denied who God is. What did Job's wife deny about God by her advice to Job? She denied God knew what he was doing. She denied God's goodness, love, and wisdom. In quiet spiritual strength, Job rebuked his wife for her lack of spiritual insight, and he reaffirmed his faith in God's sovereign lordship. When he asked his wife the question, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" he was trying to teach her that we should trust God for who He is and not for what we get from Him. Job accepted his circumstances with a deep trust in God. He expressed a total submission to God. He trusted God for who God is and not for what God gives him. The conclusion was that in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job chapter 2 verse 10b. Tragedy struck Job. He suffered external losses in the form of his wealth and his children. He also suffered internal losses in the form of his health and his wife's moral support. Nevertheless, he responded well to both his external loss and his internal loss. We might look at Job and conclude he must be superhuman. How could anyone face what he faced and still maintain his spiritual integrity? We seemingly come unglued at far less than what Job faced. The answer is to trust God. You must trust that God is loving, sovereign, wise, omnipotent, gracious, and merciful. Helen Hayes, the actress, tells the following story in her autobiography. It was Thanksgiving Day, and she was cooking her first turkey dinner for her family. Before serving it, she announced to her husband, Charles MacArthur, and their son, James, "Now, I know this is the first turkey I've ever cooked. If it isn't any good, I don't want anybody to say a word. will just get up from the table without comment and go out to a restaurant to eat. Then she returned to the kitchen. When she entered the dining room bearing the turkey, she found her husband and son seated at a table with their hats and coats on. Obviously, they didn't have much faith in her ability to cook a turkey. At times, we are like that with regard to God. We face trials. We pray to God for help. And then we sit back and expect the worst to happen. We don't have much faith in Him. We don't really trust Him. Aren't we like that at times?